Well, Glory, marriage is wonderful. It really is. God never intended our marriages to be, as one man said to me, hell on earth for 27 years. God wants our marriages to be so wonderful. God intended it, so God said it isn't good for a man to dwell alone. I'll make him a helpmeet. Help him what? To live their lives together as heirs together, the grace of God. Marriage is wonderful, and God wants it to be that way. But I want to tell you something. Marriage is work. Happy marriages don't happen. They're worked at. I wish someone had told me that 30, 40 years ago. Happy marriages don't just happen. It's a lifelong work to keep it, keep that love, keep the honey in the honeymoon. One of these messages is going to deal with how to keep the honey in the honeymoon. The honey's done leaked out of too many. So we want to say emphatically, marriage is wonderful, and we want to share these messages, how to keep that honey in the honeymoon and how to have a wonderful, joyous, exciting marriage. How in the world can two people who are so madly in love before they get married ever come to the place that now everything each one does irritates the other? They can hardly speak. Their talk is filled with sarcasm. The spark is gone. Romantic feelings departed. The fire's out. Love is not there. They no longer enjoy their marriage. They endure it. How can that happen? Well, they're not alone. Their condition's all too common. Every couple is had their marriage plagued with problems. It's extremely important, though, to find out the causes of these problems and the cure for them. I want to share some of the common causes and simple solutions. Probably the number one cause of marriage problems in the home, and especially early in your marriage, is money. God said the love of money is the root of all evil. To some people, the lack of money is the root of all evil in their marriage. A love for money or a lack of money can put a great strain on any marriage. But a right attitude toward money and a right amount of money are both vital to a true and happy marriage. To love money, to crave it, to make a god of it, can surely play havoc with your marriage. Money is not the root of all love and joy. That's for sure. Howard Hughes with $2 billion proved that. Apparently he didn't have either, love or joy. Christians have got to realize it's God who gives you the power to get your wealth, Deuteronomy 8:18 says. God says in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor the Lord with your substance, and so shall our barns be filled. Those who honor God with at least the tithe, which is demanded under the law, will surely find God's blessing on them. But if you do not, you're going to find more conflicts and consternation over money. Money and wealth and possessions in themselves, they're not wrong. They're not sinful. It's when these possessions possess you that the problems come. Those who honor God with their possessions, God promises to supply all their needs. Some young couples are trying to keep up with their parents or peers, and as soon they find themselves in such strain and stress. Don't feel like you've got to have everything that mom and dad. You don't start out on the top of the ladder. Learn to be content with such things as you have, God says in 1 Timothy 6:8. Too many long for and lust after things of this world. Then they don't have any money to get out and have fun together. Can't go on dates. Can't go out to eat. Can't have new dress or new clothes because they're so head over heels in debt for furniture and a home and automobile. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you seek the thing, you won't have either God's blessing or your joy in your heart and your home. God said Christians that earn money, they may have to give to them that are in need in Ephesians 4:28. That's a great principle to live by. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on others. Money can be so deadening if that's your God, and that's number one in your life. There's a second cause of problems, and that's in-laws. Doesn't have to be that way, but too often it is. God said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. Genesis 2:24. Leave and cleave, that's the formula. Some leave, but they never cut the apron strings. This in no way means that a man's to dishonor or be disrespectful to his parents. They must love their parents and respect them and honor them and care for them, be concerned about their feelings. But the first and foremost concern must be about the relationship with each other, husband and wife. They're two extremes. Some can't wait to get away from home and be out from under parents' authority. That's dad. There's some who are not living under God's authority either, and they want to get away from home, do what they want to do. No man's an island to himself. You just don't do what you want to. It leads to anarchy in your home as well as in everything else. There's another extreme, and that is to be so close to mother and dad, you never can make the break and be tied to a new relationship. That's bad. That won't work. We're to leave and cleave. Leave that mother and father, husband and wife, and then cleave to that husband and that wife. Sometimes it's the parents who can't give up the child. Oh my, that's so bad. Sometimes here's a mother so devoted to her daughter, and you know no man's good enough for any woman's daughter, and she won't turn her loose. That mother would die if her mother-in-law had demanded and tried to run their lives and tell them what to do. No, parents must have their own goals and must live their own lives and let that child go and let them live their lives. That can be a great problem. If a mother loves that child, loves that daughter, she'll turn her loose and help them and not try to run their lives for them. There's a third source of strain, that's sex. Sex ought to be the highest physical expression of love in the home. It's perfectly right. It's meant to be enjoyed. God says marriage is honorable and bed's undefiled. There isn't anything wrong with sex. It must be kept in the bounds of matrimony. And often, if not, it leaves scars and wounds and bruises that sometimes never heal. You don't violate spiritual laws any more than you violate the laws of physics and get away with it. You just can't do it. Multitudes who have snubbed God's laws are paying for it with terrible guilt and awful consequences of a happy relationship. Thank God there is forgiveness and cleansing. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's any guilt still over your head from some bad experience, learn to live by faith. Confess that sin. Trust God that He forgives and forgets. He said, I'll remember them against you no more in Jeremiah 31:34. Satan will bring it up. He's the accuser of the brethren. God never will. Revelation 12:10, the Bible says, Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Rebuke Satan when he brings it up. Thank God for his forgiveness and his forgetfulness. Sex not only is not bad, but it's meant to be enjoyed. God said in Proverbs 5:18-19, be thou ravished with your wife's love. God meant for it to be enjoyed, but it can't be all-consuming. It can't be the number one, the only thing in life. And God's talking about that we should enjoy this wonderful expression of love. A husband needs to understand this and gently and lovingly help his wife. Wife needs to know she has no right to refuse this expression of love to her husband. God said a wife doesn't have a power or authority over her own body. 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. That's such an important passage. Read that carefully. You don't have the authority to refuse. God said she must render her due rights to her husband. To not do so is sinful. He must not be demanding about the matter. But as Eastern Airlines says in their slogan, you must earn your wings every day. He needs to earn his rights every day. There's more of this on the tape on romance and sex. Learn to give yourself. Wives have to learn to give themselves. It isn't easy for a woman who's lived in an ultra-Victorian atmosphere and a background to give herself. And she's got to learn to do that. And the husband must not be demanding. If she understands her husband's drive and need, oh, listen to the tape on romance and sex. Dr. Moore, founder of the famous Sir Thomas More Clinic, said he'd never seen a couple entering into the divorce courts who had a happy, healthy sex life. That's so important. It must be worked at. We have more on that later. Then another problem is insecurity, especially in the part of a woman. A woman has an enormous need for security. Men don't understand it. Oh, they can get out here and just move from one town to another, one job to another, but to a wife, that soul so needed, that security of a home and stability. Basically and biblically, a woman has to be in submission and dependence on her husband. It's asking a lot, and it isn't easy for a wife to leave her family, give up her name, take her husband's name, give herself, body, soul, to her husband. He's asking an awful lot, and he needs to earn that respect and that response. By nature, a woman is a responder. God made her that way. She responds to his evidence and assurance of wise and godly leadership. For husband doesn't evidence this leadership. It often causes her to hold back in different areas of her life. This causes great conflict. His tendency would be to demand her submission. This can bring resentment and rebellion on her part. If at home there's not been a strong father with leadership ability, she may have insecurity ingrained in her much deeper than she realizes. Dominating mother can build up an attitude, makes it hard to be submissive. Poor self-image, poor performance in school, or achievement in life can lead to terrible insecurity that causes conflict. An unspiritual adolescent can cause both husband and wife to have very little spiritual trust in God, which has bad insecurity. This kind of insecurity does not build a deep and solid foundation for a stable home. The cure is to know God better. Husband must be a tower of strength in the home. He's the head. He's the leader. He's to be the leader in spiritual things and show that security, that trust in God that doesn't lead to that insecurity and feelings of failure and all the rest. There's a fifth reason can cause problems. That's inferiority. Inferiority. This inferiority, especially in men. See, the man is to be the head of the home. The enormous pressure on a man today to make it. He's got to be a great provider. If a man doesn't have a big home and brand new automobiles and a boat and all the rest, it's an awesome thing. And sometimes wives don't understand it. That inferiority. That's why a woman must never put down her husband. Oh, when you see, listen to the tape on the differences between men and women, and it's so important to understand that. A man needs to be the head of the home and needs to have that respect of the wife, that honor her husband and obey her husband. It's often for a man, awesome for a man to get out of school, have to face this old world, and have to make it in a great competitive world today. The world that has a big old macho image, the male ego, we talk about male chauvinism. He's got to make it. And that inferiority, the wife who does not build up, it's not only the desire of every woman to find a prince charming on a white horse in shining armor, it's the need of every man to be that in the eyes of one woman. Somebody said behind every man is every successful man is a devoted wife and a surprised mother-in-law. It's true, but every man has to say, I never made it without a wife that's there with me. And that wife that does not give him that support can cause great problems. Another one can be jealousy. Jealousy jeopardizes a happy relationship. Every woman needs an abundance of attention. When her parents or his parents shower attention on the husband, sometimes unknowingly, they can rise an ugly monster of jealousy. If her husband isn't showering his attention on her, you can be sure she will notice it. Here's a man, he comes from work, he's been working all day, and he's had an exciting day, and she's had to stare at the four walls in the home, and he comes home all excited, telling about it. That can lead to jealousy. You can understand the women's lib and the need of women to want to have a good self-image and have a place of fulfillment. Well, the man who does not give his wife all the attention can lead to great jealousy. Here's a girl. She's very popular in school, a cheerleader. She's the life of the party. Now she sits home all day with no home, working in the home, and while her husband's popular at work and having a big time out there, the life of the party can cause jealousy in that home. Proverbs 6:34 said, jealousy is the rage of man. Solomon said, jealousy is cruel as a grave. Often it's the hidden thing behind so many marriages and so many problems in marriages. Men sometimes are possessed by jealousy when a wife has a career and gets admiration that a man so desperately needs. When she becomes successful and her income exceeds his, there's not many men can handle that. The psalmist said, shall thy jealousy burn like a fire? Behind 1,000 fires in a home can be bits of jealousy showing its ugly head. God said, love envies not, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Shower praise on each other. Brings the returns of attention and admiration. Heal all the wounds Satan lays out. God said, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from God. It's earthly, sensual, devilish. But where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. The answer is, provoke one another to love and to good works, Hebrews 10:24 says. This needs to become a goal of life. It has to be worked at until it's a habit, a way of life. Pays off in joy and harmony and peace. Doesn't come easily. It isn't cheap. Well, another real problem can be rivalry, sort of closely related to jealousy. Rivalry is a hidden monster in so many homes. Marriages are not a competitive life. It isn't a matter of competing talents and abilities, but a commitment of two lives to each other, to the fulfillment of the purposes for them in God's way here in life. God says husbands are to give honor unto the wife as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What a great release when we realize that we're heirs together. What a thrill to share life together, to pool our talents and our gifts and our abilities, and carrying out the purposes of God and the plans of God for our life. My wife and I have had almost 40 years of ministering together. We pray for each other, for our individual ministries. I thrill when she speaks, as she did recently, to over 4,000 women at a women's retreat. We're in it together. We're not rivals. I share in the internal rewards and the present joys as I pray earnestly for her and her meetings. An eighth cause of conflict is immaturity. There's more immaturity exposed through conflicts and confrontation than ever realized. It isn't easy to admit. Seldom is when we admit, when we talk about or realize we're so immature. My wife and I, oh my, we were so immature. We were 25 years old, been college graduates. I was a graduate of seminary, but I was so immature. I had so much to learn, made so many dumb mistakes. We're so childish in a multitude of instances, but it isn't easy to admit it. Some girls don't grow up and get out of wanting to play with dolls until suddenly they realize that baby of theirs is not a doll but an eternal soul. The stark reality of changing diapers, the baby's illness, crying all night, a thousand other things can show up in how mature one, immature one really is. Many boys have tried to prove their manhood through sex exploitations or becoming a father in their home. Then they suddenly realize the responsibilities of it all can be shattering. One fellow woke up the day after his wedding and exclaimed to his mother, "My God, what have I done?" The wife who has her weeping spells and keeps threatening to go home to mama needs to grow up. She'd never been married yet. Solution's not to split, but to face reality, admit immaturity, and seek counseling from a godly pastor or counselor. This fellow still wants to go out with the boys and keeps calling on mama for advice and comfort. Needs to do the same. God says, be sober, be serious. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Life is serious. It isn't a bowl of cherries. God said, what is your life? He said, it's a vapor, it's a little bit of steam that appears for just a few seconds and then vanishes. God describes those who have envyings and strife and divisions as babes. Oh, we need to grow up. Then selfishness. Selfishness, a horrible crime, can kill and destroy a marriage. Everyone has a dose of selfishness. It's just natural. This old sin nature of ours is born so powerful, so persuasive. You never get rid of it. Hangs around your neck like an albatross. It's active. God said the flesh lusts against the spirit. It's constantly pulling against the good intentions we have. Selfishness is manifested in the desire to drive for my happiness at all costs. Everything revolves around me. Whether what others do brings pleasure and happiness to me. My happiness becomes the sole criteria of what one does or accepts from others. Instead of giving happiness to others, that desire is self-centered and it's just wanting happiness from everyone else. A husband or wife's love can be stretched just so far to accommodate the other's selfish demands for their way and their happiness. The solution to get a good dose of agape love, that unselfish love, in honor preferring one another, God says. Well, selfishness can make a great strain in a marriage. A giant step in growth and maturity is to pray, not so much, Lord, bless me, but to pray, Lord, make me a blessing. Be a blessing. Don't seek a blessing. Get your joy out of giving joy. That's one of the greatest lessons of life. The joy you get from giving joy is the deepest and longest lasting joy there is. Learn this, and it can revolutionize your marriage. Then a tenth cause is romanticizing or fantasizing. That can be a terrible strain on marriage. Soap operas today, more than devastating. Here they get people with totally devoid of morals or spiritual values. There are no wrongs in their eyes. Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. Hedonism, personal pleasure at any price is a sole criteria for their living. Society is so affected with this same philosophy. Very often watching movies, TV, especially soap operas, cause women to fantasize and want these fleshly, passionate experiences in their marriage. Their marriage doesn't contain the exhilarating fleshly feelings they fantasize, as psychologists tell us, and enter into a vicarious association with the players on TV. Women are awful filled with, what's wrong with me? I don't have these passionate cravings and for physical expressions of love. Men wonder what's wrong with their wives, that they don't react the same passionate panting they see on television. The answer is simple. What's portrayed on television is abnormal, showing those who have given themselves over to the passions and lusts of the flesh, their behavior is condemned by God. You can't watch a TV program today without 5 minutes into it to an illicit bedroom scene. That isn't the normal life. That isn't the kind of life God ordained, and it leads to terrible frustrations. How do you overcome all of that? God said, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind, supplanting all the fleshly, earthly, humanistic desires with spiritual things and looking at it from God's point of view, fantasizing, romanticizing about one's love life. Use a godless world's criteria for what love should be, and it's foolish and fleshly. It leads to terrible problems. Then your health. The 11th thing can be your health can hinder your marriage. Dr. Chafer, founder of the Great Dallas Seminary, used to say, your physical condition can affect your spiritual condition. That's so true. I didn't realize that for a long time. One who's not physically up to par will not feel like going out and having fun and doing the many things that have to be done to keep the spark in your marriage. Bad health can cause one to be lethargic and apathetic and irritable and disagreeable. Poor health will keep one from taking care of themselves to be attracted to their companion. These things can lead to deterioration of marriage life. It's important to realize that your body is a temple of God, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Temple of God, sacred, one must take care of God's house. To let the body go as and become terribly overweight and out of shape or by what you eat and all is sin. This easily causes romantic love to disappear. It's a natural reaction, simply because one is guilty of gluttony. God said you put a knife to your throat if you're given to your appetites and passions of the flesh. Take care of yourself for your own sake and for your companion's sake and for God's sake is the temple of God. God wants us to be temperate and self-control. Well, there's a 12th cause of problem. That's a lack of sleep. That can cause problems. Going too much, partying too much, watching the late TV movies and many other things can lead to drowsiness and sleepiness. This causes undue problems. The wife can be too tired to be bothered and to be a wife to her husband. The husband can be too sleepy to take his wife on dates or to be the husband he ought to be. This leaves a very frustrated and starving companionship. Couples must discipline themselves to be rested and refreshed for each other. It's so important that we have the energy and the vitality to be exciting to each other and to do what we must do to keep our marriage what they ought to be. Then being insensitive to each other's needs and desires are certainly a vital cause of problems and pains in marriage. Couples should be sensitive to each other. There are many signs and danger signals that discerning companions can spot so easily. Every man ought to be able to know and recognize those times when a wife needs that extra tenderness, companionship. Those few moments of embrace, that love pat, those tender words can give that wife the lift she needs so easily. Wife should be able to see grouchiness, nervousness in her husband that alerts her to his special needs that he has. What a wonderful harmony when couples are sensitive to each other and read the signals and respond and meets those needs. Couples need to talk about these matters. Need to be able to share your heart and share your needs that each understand. Then having no goals in a home can cause aimlessness and drifting in a marriage. We need to be sensitive and see each other's needs. First and foremost, should not be how good a job you have, how large a salary, how big a home, how new a car. Those aren't the primary things. Up front ought to be to establish how we're going to serve God with our lives. Couples should set goals for Bible reading, prayer, spiritual goals, and growth in the home. Working in the Sunday school, bus ministry, a visitation program. Setting goals can lead to a great difference in the marriage. Being sensitive to each other. Then, one last thing I want to mention is unspirituality. Probably the most definite, biggest conflict it causes in the home is a lack of spirituality. Carnality causes jealousy and hatred and strife and every evil work. Neither or both who neglect reading God's word day after day are going to be walking in the flesh and cause one head-on collision after another. Couples need so much to learn about the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Honestly believe that 70-90% of Christians are not walking in the Spirit. Seems quite evident by the lack of love and joy and peace in most Christians. One cannot love his companion with an agape, unselfish love if he neglects God and the Holy Spirit in his life. God said the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's not a natural tendency and a natural trait. It isn't natural personality. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But as a prodigal son, admit your carnality and come back to the God, the Father. Return to that first love you once had. Unsaved and unequally yoked couples are for sure headed for trouble. Often one is saved, born-again Christian, the other is not. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:26 says, of course not. If your wife's saved, your children saved, and if you died today, you'd be separated from your family forever. If you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. Jesus suffered and died on that cross for your sin. You and I have offended a holy God. We ought to be condemned. We ought to be banished to hell forever and ever. But God loved us enough to let Jesus suffer and die for us. He rose again. He paid the way to heaven in full. Didn't make a down payment. Paid it in full. And God wants you to receive him. Just as you said, yes, I'll take this woman to be my wife. Yes, I'll take this man to be my husband. Why don't you right now say yes to God? I want to receive Christ as my Savior too. I want to be born again. I want the Holy Spirit to indwell me and to produce in me that love and joy and peace that I can have the kind of relationship that I ought to have in my home. Oh, I may not have named your problem today. I may not have named the very basic cause of what's caused your marriage to go sour, how the honey done leaked out of the honeymoon. Somebody said, I never knew what happiness was till I got married, and then it was too late. That's so sad. God wants our marriages filled with joy. God wants our marriages filled with blessing. Somebody said the honeymoon is that quiet interval between bells and bills. Somebody said the honeymoon is the period between I do and you'd better. Well, God doesn't want it to leak out. And God wants your marriage filled with joy and blessing. And if you're not saved, I pray to God you'll trust Jesus as your personal Savior. And then if you are saved, are you walking in the flesh? Are you living for the things? Are you just materialistic, earthly, selfish-minded? Why don't you learn to walk in the Spirit? Get my book on how on earth can I be filled with the Spirit? How on earth can I be spiritual? Learn to walk in the Spirit. Learn to have God's blessing upon your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's not the love and joy and peace are not the results of having a brand new car and the biggest house on the block. It's having that personal relationship with God that's manifest in a home of harmony and joy and blessing, peace and purpose. Why don't you get to that place today? Get your own heart and life straightened out. Get your own life in love with the Lord Jesus. Get your own life where it belongs. Back in those days when you walked with God and you had God's blessing upon you. And if today you're not sure you're saved, I pray to God, you'll just say yes to God. I want Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me today. Change my life. Put a new nature within me. Then if you are saved, why don't you yield that life to God? Come back to him. Learn to walk in the Spirit and have that blessing of God upon your life that you must have. God bless you. I hope these tapes will be a great blessing to your heart, to your home.